The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. This is Dr. Craig, eager to share with you what I believe is the cutting edge of spirituality in our day. In spite of all the calamities in our world, I am filled with hope and joy that we, you and I, and all humanity, are on the verge of a new spiritual awakening. This shift in spirituality is perhaps best expressed by declaring, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that's what I want to explore with you in these podcasts of Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. Today's podcast is entitled, The Truth Shall Make You Free. This is a haunting phrase spiritually that I've struggled with for decades now. And it kind of came to my mind in a way with clarity just the other day, and I thought I'd like to share it with you on this podcast. The full phrasing, of course, comes from the Gospel of John, 8th chapter, 32nd verse, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can truth make us free? Especially in our world today where we just feel everything is ambiguous and uncertain. Even more, we live in an age which is all about I, me, and mine. We say, forget truth. I just want to freedom to do what I want when I want to. So how can we unpack this momentous declaration on knowing the truth and getting freedom? Let us start with a kind of a metaphysical baseline. The fancy word would be epistemology. It means to know. How can we know anything? And it's helpful to realize that in the Greek of the New Testament, that's the original Koine Greek in which the New Testament was written, there's two basic ways of knowing. Knowing based on observation and reflection, which is common knowing, and also scientific, we would now call it knowing as well. But then there's a whole other kind of knowing, and that is a deep inner understanding of something. This latter awareness is a Gnostic sense of knowing. Really, it's a kind of a mystical, intuitive knowing. And when the writer of the Gospel of John speaks about knowing things that are spiritual, that's the kind of knowing that he's talking about. It's a way of knowing to gain spiritual enlightenment in the way of the Christ Spirit. So, with this enlightened way of knowing, I will try to delve more deeply now into this paradox, because that's what it is really, about truth and freedom. First of all, we have to realize from our spiritual perspective of enlightenment that we tend to be spiritually captive to our needs and wants, captive to our ever-shifting passions that drive us, captive to whatever grabs our consciousness and gets our attention in the moment. And then one moment flickers to the next, and we think we're free and all that, but really we're captive. Now, I'm not saying that the events and opportunities of this world don't have their importance. Of course they do. In fact, they are the very stuff for our spiritual growth. But finally, we come to realize that the things of this world cannot give us the ultimate meaning of life. The teachings of the Buddha are very helpful at this point, because the great insight that the Buddha has and comes to us down through the century, giving to us now, the teaching that if we cling to things only, we will gain nothing but frustration and suffering. Why? Because everything is momentary. Everything is impermanent. Or, as the Apostle Paul puts it in Scripture, they pass away. So, if we're captive to the things of this world, then we gain the basic insight that freedom is not doing what we want whenever we feel like it. That is not freedom. That is staying stuck in the whims of this world and the passions that grab hold of us at any moment, at any time. The paradox, spiritually, of freedom centered in the divine is the very thing that helps us to find true meaning. For then, all of life is experienced, and its truth is found in the divine meaning. Even in the smallest and most menial of tasks, we can find luminous expressions of glorious true life, because they're now seen and done in the life divine. Indeed, if our freedom is aligned with the will and way of God, then we can abundantly enjoy everything that is good and true and beautiful, from the great to the small. And what then about things when they become painful or unfair? Well, if we are honest before God about this, we have to realize that our freedom makes it more spiritually difficult, because then we know that whatever is the cause of suffering that we experience, or others know, that this suffering is also a part of God's creation. We have to admit that our Creator has permitted this suffering to happen. And we want to know how a good and loving God could let this pain or wrong afflict us or others. All of this is what I would call the great conundrum. The fancy term for it would be theodicy. Namely, how could an all-powerful, that is omnipotent, all-knowing, and all-good, omnibeneficent God permit evil and suffering? Well, this brings us back then again to the divine conspiracy, as I now call it, of freedom. Freedom is indeed the great creative gift of our Creator, not only for us, but for all the cosmos. When we contemplate the cosmos, we perceive the all-pervasive intelligence, order, and design inherent in creation. Yet we also realize that our Creator did not want creation to simply be some vast mechanism, or that we would be some robotic-type creature that might make the universe perfect. But we realize that within this design, our Creator has also unleashed freedom. A conspiracy of freedom that is meant to be a sharing of God's own being, of God's own freedom, with all manner of creative possibilities as the cosmos unfolds. This creative, free process culminates in the evolution not only of our Earth, but for the entire cosmos. Further, this freedom comes to its most godlike function in us, in humanity. We are creatures, literally made in the image and likeness of God, with innate feelings, intellectual acumen, moral fiber, robust creativity, and yes, spiritual awareness of our freedom. Our human freedom flows out from us as an expression of all the potencies and possibilities that we have inherent within us. The poignant question then becomes, what will we do with this divinely given freedom? Will we use our freedom to love and live in the will and way of God? Or will we use it for our own pursuits and passions? Or worst of all, will we choose to actively turn against God and for evil? Truly, much of the pain and suffering of this earth results from what we do to one another in our freedom. And if we are to have true freedom, then nature must also have its own freedom, Consequently, pathogens are free to become illness. Wind is free to become tornadoes. Water is free to become floods and hurricanes and so forth. All of this combines and swirls to be the great conspiracy of freedom. But to what end is God conspiring in all this? Why is this conspiracy of freedom so woven into the very fabric of all creation? The answer I would give is a paradox, and I would put it like this. We must realize that in the end is our beginning. If our cosmic destiny is to be a companion with God in eternal life, then we must show by our very lives that we are truly desirous of this glorious union with our Creator for all eternity. We must show that we are truly God-centered and not simply self-centered. We must strive to live in and share the divine truth and love in all that we do. We must embrace God's will as our own. In all this, we realize that we shall abide and flourish in our Creator's light, wisdom, and fulfillment forever. Hence, God's conspiracy is a freedom to make us whole and well in God's very being. But for all this to happen, we have to be free. And if we're free, then things can also, out of freedom, come to us that are difficult, even painful. But without those moments, would we really grow? There's the final answer, that we are here in the midst of this freedom for the growth of our souls. I condense that phrase a little bit for my own understanding, and maybe it's helpful for you. Namely, we are here on this earth for our soul growth. That all the challenges that we face, all the opportunities we are given, all the creative and good things that we are about, all of it is a conspiracy of freedom so that we may indeed know soul growth. That is why we are here, to truly prepare to be an entity of God, a divine spirit that merges and unites with the very spirit of God in eternal life. And I believe we actually take it further in the world to come, and our creativity and freedom become then a part of God's creativity and freedom. And we take part literally in the ongoing unfolding of the cosmos, ever moving towards the perfection that God would have it be. So there's the grand conspiracy of freedom in its most cosmic sense. Without that freedom, we could not grow into union with God and be of service to God and humanity and the cosmos itself for all eternity. With that, I sign off, and I thank you for tuning in to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. If you want to contact me, I'd be glad to receive your concerns or even your criticism. Yes, I welcome it all. You have opportunity to do that right there on the podcast page. So please take advantage of that. I'd love to hear from you. I leave you then with a heartfelt blessing. Know that you are infinitely precious to God and that God loves you. Know that you have a unique purpose in God. And may all that you do be done in loving service. Know that you are living eternal life in God even now, in this moment, and forever. Amen.